Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
For Inside Carolina, I'm Taylor Vipolis, and you're listening to this podcast, which is a part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network. So first off, thank you for being here. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Inside Carolina wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube so you never miss out on any of the content the team at IC puts out. It takes hardly any time, and it helps us out a great deal. Speaking of support, we want to support the people that support us. So that's why on this podcast, I've got to remind everybody about Rel's favorite restaurant, Jimmy's Famous Seafood. The reason they wanted to sponsor this podcast is simple. They're owned and operated by Carolina fans. So not only do you get great seafood at a great price, but you're also supporting one of your own. It's a true win-win. For everybody wondering, my go-to order is the famous gift box where you get two massive crab cakes, two different kinds of crab soup, and a half pint of crab dip. At checkout, use the promo code hashtag GDTBATH for free two-day shipping. That's promo code hashtag GDTBATH. All right, today we've got a star-studded cast here. Joining me, it's Kenny Williams, Shaquille Rashad, Luke Buxton, and Sherelle McMillan. Guys, it's the offseason, so there's not as much to talk about. So the concept of today's podcast is a fun one where we're going to have a snake draft of UNC-related things where each person has to draft a UNC basketball player, a non-basketball alum or athlete, a signature moment, a landmark, and then a bar or restaurant. So five categories there. You can get those five things in any order. So it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out and maybe which categories go faster. After the draft, we'll put up a graphic for people to vote on which GM had the best draft, and fans can sound off on Twitter, sound off on the message boards, who they think had the best draft, maybe what got left off. Kenny, you're here representing Carolina basketball. It's a huge brand. Do you feel any extra sense of pressure to perform well here today?
No, I'm cool, calm, and collected, man. I'm good.
Always. He always is. Shaq, I think, is the wild card here because I can never tell where his mind's at. And Shaq, as a huge Carolina football guy, I have to imagine that your goal tonight is to make sure Carolina football is well represented. But I also think you have a part in you where you are just going to pander to the crowd and whatever gets you the most votes.
I can't believe you'd even accuse me of that, Vip. Like, I mean, it's absurd that you would even say that out loud, honestly. I'm here to win.
And then Rel and Luke, you guys come here working for Inside Carolina. What are your thoughts heading into this draft tonight as the voices of credibility in the IC community, starting with you, Rel?
Oh, like we said off air, I'm leaking confidence. I'm nervous. These guys are all stars. They all look good. They're all grown men. And I'm just, you know, representing the quite, you know, a little bit under 40 crowd. And I just hope to do, you know, 2004, 2005, 2006 folks proud.
Luke, what about you?
Yeah, man, I'm like Rel. I'm coming in probably one of the least athletic people on the Zoom call. So I'm going to try to take a different approach and maybe pander to the fans. I think it's not Shaq. It's going to be me who's going to try to get the fans vote. So we'll see how it goes.
A lot of shame in that, admitting to pandering to the crowd. The draft order, which was determined off air, it's me with the dreaded first pick, then Luke, then Shaq, then Kenny, then Rel. Reminder of the five categories. It's a UNC basketball player, a non-basketball alum or athlete, a signature moment, a landmark, and then a bar or a restaurant. And feel free to, when you're making the picks, maybe give a little explanation why. And the other four people, don't be afraid to chime in with maybe if you have some criticism, if you like the pick, any kind of feedback there. With the first pick, this one's tough because it's a snake draft. I'm not picking for another nine picks. There's a lot of good contenders for who should be first off the board in a lot of loaded categories, but I have to go with Michael Jordan for my Carolina basketball players. It's the obvious place where to start. Now, he might not have the best statistics from a college perspective, but you get the title, you get the Jordan brand, you get the GOAT when it comes to basketball and all that credibility that comes with the Jordan name. So it was a tough choice. There was a couple of categories that I was between, but I feel like when you can get Michael Jordan, you have to get Michael Jordan.
Always, always.
Yeah. No, it's a good pick. That was my first as well. I'll take it a little bit. Yeah, I'll go a little different approach. I'm not going to, focus too much on stats or accolades. I'll go Theo Pinson at two. National champion, four-year player, just one of the funniest dudes to come through Carolina. And just like you look in the NBA, right, wherever team he goes, Nets or Knicks, they all love him. Great, great locker room guy. Great representative of Carolina. So I'll go Theo Pinson at two.
Kenny, as a Carolina basketball player and a former teammate of Theo, what's your reaction to seeing Theo go number two in a category where you're picking five of the potential best Carolina basketball players to ever play at the school?
I'm not surprised. I like the wild card pick. Theo's a fan favorite, so that'll get you some votes just off of his personality.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm pandering to the crowd.
Maybe if he shares it, you get even more votes from Theo, but that was definitely a pander choice. Shaq, you're now on the clock. I see you working on the board. I can't imagine Theo Pinson was on your board. He wasn't on my board.
I'm making adjustments. Just so you all know, I'll be honest, I'm tracking who picks what where so I can kind of try to feel out. I've got kind of draft profiles on all of you built out already. And so right now I'm just tracking against those profiles to see, okay, he's going along with what I thought he'd be doing, just to get a feel for what you all are doing here. With the third pick in the draft, it's tough. This is one that I can't slip away, and you know this about me, Pip. Is the restaurant or bar the number one spot? Should that be my number one pick? Probably not. I can't let Bob go to anyone but me, though. I've got to take Pantana Bob's at three, baby.
that was a very predictable pick.
I could not leave this podcast having lost Bob's. I just couldn't happen.
you don't know with a snake draft that Bob's is going to be back to you. And Bob's on the deck, a nice day. You can make the argument Bob's can't be beat, and Bob's was pretty high up on my draft board, but I don't know if I would have went restaurant bar there with a ton of great choices. But Shaq, as you said, you're a Bob's guy through and through. It might have been, if you had the number one pick, the first overall pick. So
I've got some wild cards in my back pocket too, some stuff I know will be there late.
Kenny, you're now on the clock.
All right, so the alum can't be a player, right?
The alum can't be a player. It can be another athlete, but just not a basketball player.
Wild card, Roy Williams.
Okay. That's a good choice. And he fits the non-basketball player category, but still going into that basketball realm, and you get all the national championships. But what's kind of your reason behind going Roy first round?
A legend. You took Michael Jordan. I think if you're talking about UNC basketball, like, I guess Mount Rushmore, he would be one of those people that's on it. So you can't pass him up, and I didn't want anybody else to take that wild card pick from me, so I just went ahead and took him.
It's a great pick. Nobody I think is going to question that here. Rel, it's a snake draft, so you got two picks coming up here.
Yeah, I was thinking about Coach Smith, and I realized I forgot he's not a Carolina alum, so I can't pick him, right? Because he's not.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I had to start over. So with the fifth pick, I will go for Sutton's Drugstore. Because what is more Chapel Hill than Sutton's? Like, the history of Carolina basketball is in pictures inside of Sutton's, and you can get really good hot dogs and hamburgers. So can't beat that. So that is my bar restaurant pick. I went number one with that, just because, I mean, Sutton's has the history on the wall, so you get everything you need from Carolina basketball.
Kenny, was that one that you were hoping was coming back to you for your second pick?
I think I was gonna go that with my second pick, man. That's my restaurant, and man, I'm kind of like Shaq with Bob's. I'm mad I'm gonna leave here without having Sutton's on my list.
Yep.
Rel, sticking with you.
All right, so could go a number of ways here. So there are two football players, obviously, I think I have in mind, but there's a different type of football who I think maybe is the greatest to ever play. So I'm going to go with Mia Hamm with the number six pick.
Wow, that's a great pick. Had her on my big board.
Yeah, it was on my board.
Anytime you could get a goat of a sport, and Mia Hamm is the unquestioned women's soccer goat, I think it's always gonna be a great pick.
There's still a goat left, though.
I could maybe think of it, but Kenny, I'm itching to get back on the clock. By the way,
my second round pick, I'm gonna take the first landmark and take the Smith Center off the board.
It's a great pick.
I know I'm going all basketball. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say all basketball from you, Ken.
I'll change it up. It's just – it's hard to go away from the history, man. A lot of stuff going down in the basketballs. So, I'll take the Smith Center and go ahead and knock that one off.
Kenny, this draft is shaping up pretty well for you so far. Roy Williams and the Smith Center. Smith Center, great choice. A lot of history there. Shaq, I see you. For anybody watching, for anybody who's just listening as a podcast, Shaq is scribbling away with every pick on a whiteboard that we can't quite see. We can see the edge of it.
It's intentional. That's intentional.
Shaq, you've got Pantana Bobs. Who are you adding to the roster?
I like Kenny's pick of the Smith Center there, but there's a lot of history over in Carmichael too. Yeah, I like Carmichael here with this pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
What's the reasoning for Carmichael in comparison to the Smith Center, I guess, if people are trying to compare landmarks?
I have never actually done the research on this. If there's one thing you know about me, is that I'm going to believe whoever tells me something at face value. I was told that is where Michael Jordan played his game. So the same reason Kenny took him at one, I've got where MJ played, right, with this pick right here. So I'm excited about that.
Great pick. Ton of history there as well.
So I was right. Well, the person that told me that was right.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I love that. I would have been devastated if I was wrong about that.
Then you just get a lot of old-time basketball and just Olympic sports.
EXSS classes.
Luke, back to you.
Let's see if this works.
The pander. I can't.
That work?
Did you play the draft sound?
Yeah, it worked.
No, I'll just edit that in post.
Yeah, put it in later. I'll take the second bar and restaurant. Shaq chose the second best bar in Chapel Hill, but the first is he's not. And I'll take Blue Cups on a awesome Tuesday afternoon, 70-degree weather in Chapel Hill, $5 Blue Cup. It's three beers. Get anyone you want. IPA, go if you're like VIP and do a Bud Light there. But yeah, he's not easily is my favorite and the best bar in Chapel Hill. So I'm getting a steal at what am I pick? Nine?
Yeah, nine, I think, in the second round.
So he's not lock it in, signed off at pick nine.
I'd like to contest the best bar in Chapel Hill line, but that's probably going to take a whole different podcast. I've actually got a living document of all the reasons Bob's are the best. I'd be happy to work through that at a different time.
I love Bob's, but you're spending $5 on a Miller Lite.
My contest with the he's not. I love the he's not pick. Actually, it's not even contest. It's just more of a question. It's if you're an alumni of UNC, is it a requirement that you have to have at least five he's not cups at your house at all times? Because I feel like that's a staple of he's not, where you always have to have a couple of cups handy.
I've actually never been.
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
You ever been to Bob's? You ever been to Bob's?
Yeah, I've been to Bob's.
Interesting.
I'll just check that off right there. That's kind of interesting. All right.
Oh, this counterpoint. Bob's, they got them in, I think, ECU. It's a chain. It's not Chapel Hill. It's a chain. He's not 1972 Chapel Hill. Only one.
All right. So I'm on the clock right now.
It's like enough of you guys talk. I'm going
for two picks. I'm locked in right now. I'm going to a landmark.
Yeah, I know where he's going.
I mean, I'm shocked this landmark is still here. When you think of
UNC, I know where you're going with this.
When you think of UNC, you think of the Old Well.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure it's even the official logo of Carolina. I will say, drinking from the Old Well, overrated. But the Old Well as a whole, properly rated. It's the best monument. It was number one on my big board.
Great pick.
I think I got a steal, and I'm honestly kind of excited right now. But just what are your guys' thoughts on just the Old Well in general?
Hate it. Oh, I hate the pick. I don't hate the Old Well.
I was going to say, I'm going to kick you off here. Hey, no way.
Well, that being said, I've driven by the Old Well. I've stopped. I've walked by and everything. I refuse to drink water out of a well that's been there for 300 years. That just doesn't sit well with me.
The drinking of the Old Well is overrated. Totally agree. But the picturesque aspect of the Old Well, perfect.
Were y'all on the team when the pregame walk was right there by the Old Well? Did y'all do that, or was it later? I mean, it was
2012. Early? 2012, we did it, and then we switched after that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I always loved that. Like, they dropped the team off right in front of the Old Well, and then the team comes down for the walk. It was really cool. It was a good sight.
Yeah. All right, I'm going. This is another tough one because I don't pick for so long, but I have a chance to get another number one moment for me. There's a moment I'm going to pass on because I already have Michael Jordan. So it's going to leave my number one moment right here. Still, it's Danny Green's dunk over Greg Paulus. Mm. It's
damn.
When you think of the Carolina Duke rivalry, it's always one of the first moments shown. You just can't beat a nice poster dunk. So DG over Paulus dunk. And I think that's going to play well with the fans too. The DG.
Yeah. I like that pick.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to can we take a moment and acknowledge that Viv just said, I think that's going to play well with the fans. So he's the one pandering now.
That's what I'm saying.
We can keep it moving. I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm back and forth. I don't know what I'm doing.
My pick.
Right. Yeah. All right. Back to you.
I'll follow you with a moment. I got Theo Pinson representing the basketball side. Good bench guy. Lighting up a locker room. I got he's not kind of that charismatic. Outdoor feel. So third, I'm going to go with a little football moment. Daz Newsome's catch against Miami night game last year. Never seen Keenan Stadium. Been a Carolina fan. Never seen Keenan Stadium that packed and never seen a crowd make that much noise at a football game. It was like, this is so cool. Like, obviously basketball has always been a huge staple, but I've never seen a crowd light up like that after Daz caught that ball versus Miami. It kind of like signaled the Mac is back era. So I'm going Daz Newsome's football catch against Miami.
I didn't have that as one of my moments on my big board, just knowing that I was going to pick something pretty early. But when you think of where Carolina football could be headed and where Carolina fans hope Carolina football gets to, that moment could be the turning point where you saw Keenan Stadium and you're like, wow, this could be an every Saturday type of thing where you're playing night games, you're playing teams like Miami, and it's a signature moment where I still watch the clip of I think I can even name the reporter who tweeted it out. Like, it's like Manny Navarro, a Miami guy, just because of how many times I've seen the clip of Keenan Stadium just going absolutely crazy. I think that is a great moment that I didn't necessarily think of.
Let me ask y'all something. Was that the biggest moment on that drive? Because people forget Sam Howell had the 4th and 17, 4th and 18.
It's a big moment, but it's more of like we have a shot.
Fair
it
enough.
Wasn't
Fair
like
enough.
A moment of euphoria. That was an incredible throw. And Joe Groves, right, was on the achievement.
The video aspect of the touchdown catch from Daz also takes it up a couple of notches where you can relive that moment and see the exact moment the Carolina fans kind of lost their mind. And, Carolina basketball gets a ton of talk at Carolina, and rightfully so, but in that moment, you saw a lot of people kind of put to rest the notion that Carolina can't be a football school and can't get the support from its fans and alumni that Carolina football can get to that level. But I love the pick, and wondering if Shaq had that on his big board as he goes for his third round pick.
Yeah, that was on my big board. Was at that game. It was an incredible moment. I absolutely remember it. It was nuts. But I think that's a good question. Was it the biggest moment on the drive? For anyone listening, keep that in mind when you're voting on who wins this thing. It was put up for debate as to if that was even the biggest moment on the drive. Keep that in mind. But I think with this pick, I think you have to go basketball player here, right? Like, there's a bunch of big names that are going to come off the board, and you have to go steal one early. Tyler Hansbrough. I mean, you can't leave Tyler Hansbrough on the board this long and expect me not to take him. The guy's electric. The moments, the bloody stuff. I mean, just the nickname Psycho T, that wins me over right there. Like, that's a mantra I can get behind. I'm taking Tyler Hansbrough with this one, and I love it.
The all-time ACC leading scorer, and with the way the one-and-done era has kind of changed college basketball, it's a record that's probably not going to change for quite some time. He never lost at Duke. It's another great point. And when you look at – that's who I was between for the first pick, Michael Jordan, Tyler Hansbrough. Tyler Hansbrough had a significantly better college career, but ultimately I went with MJ just because of what MJ became after Carolina. But I love the Tyler Hansbrough pick.
Great value in the third round. Great value. Unbelievable value.
That's actually great value.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm good. Like, I can save. I've got a couple players, basketball players in my head that I can save for 4 and 5. So I think I'm going to go a moment here. And I got two in my head. But I've went basketball for my first two picks.
No.
And I think I'm going to go football here for my moment. To be honest with you, I didn't pay attention a lot until I got there to football. But I know, if I'm correct, this was against NC State. I'm going to go Gio Bernard, punt return.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a good one.
That was – go ahead, Bip.
Shaq, you were on the sidelines. You could speak first.
Yeah, no, it was nuts. Thanks for reminding me I was on the sidelines. Yes, I was suspended for that game.
I didn't know that. I just assumed you weren't on the punt return team.
No, that was my freshman year. It was absolutely nuts. I mean, that was a moment that – so I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, I was going to Florida game. I was going to the Swamp with like Tebow and them, right? Going to like Tallahassee and all that stuff. Like that, my freshman year, I was like, oh, like this is that environment. Like this is nuts. I mean, a walk-off punt return. Like what the heck are we doing? That's one of the craziest things I've ever seen in the sport even. So there's great value in that pick. Not quite the value as the Hansbrough pick, but great value in that pick too.
My thing with the Geo punt return, I was I ran track my freshman year at Carolina. And that was my freshman year. And I was first row in the student section for that game. And after Gio returned that punt, I remember turning to somebody like, I want to play football for Carolina. And like the very next day, I try to find any contact information for Coach Fedora and Coach Brewer to be like, hey, I want to play football. So that's a moment that is near and dear to my heart because of the implications that it had for me down the road. But it's a great moment. I'm shocked Kenny went with a football moment. I'll be the first to say that. But when you're talking about moments, Gio's punt return, it's up there with the best of them.
Yeah, I feel like I had an obvious pick in terms of moments. I feel bad, but he knows it's all love. He understands.
Because it's coming off the board right now. But back to the Gio thing. It was catharsis for the fan base. Like, because I think North Carolina had lost, what, 5 straight to NC State or something like that under Tom O'Brien. And it felt like the punt return from the call, like to everybody in the stadium, it was like, finally, you know, they beat NC State and then went on a little bit of run against them. So I just remember that because I know the fan base just like let it all out because it had been so long.
That's also a great point with the call, because I think the call, Jones's call, makes it even better than the no, he's not, yes, he is. So it might not be as good a moment without a great call. And I think when you're talking about the moment, Jones took it up a level too.
Vip, I'd like to kind of spend a second talking about the lesser known sad story that took place on that play, the Roy side of things. Did you ever hear about that one?
That Roy was supposed to return the punt.
It was supposed to be Roy's return, and it was just a wall return. Roy could have done that. That could have been
Roy Smith, like, for everybody who doesn't know, was the punt returner. Gio had like a banged up ankle, I think.
It was right? an ankle, yeah.
And he didn't know that. He came to whoever was running punt return, Fedora.
Was like, yeah, so we was – I think what happened was – I don't – if you go back and look at it, I don't think Gio returned any punts that game. We go into the – we take a timeout before the punt return. We see what they line up in, take a timeout, come back to the sideline. And as we're taking the field, Roy's jogging on the field, and Gio doesn't go to anyone. He just looks at Roy. He goes, hey, I'll take this one. And he runs out there.
That's a great unknown story from that.
I love the fact that y'all are pumping up my pick like this.
We're football guys. Keep We're football guys too.
Keep it moving.
All right, Rel. In that talk, we'll keep it moving to you. I think I know where you're going, one of these picks.
March 26, 2017. Pretty simple. Sunday afternoon. My wife, for me, it was like a huge moment. So my inner fan doesn't come out often, like ever. But when you have a wife who's, you know, 39 weeks pregnant and Carolina's in the Elite Eight and they're down five and then they're up five and then it's tied. And then Luke May hits the second biggest shot, I would argue, in Carolina history. You know, you have to go with that. I mean, and then you see Kenny on the sideline in his suit, like just charged up. Devin Woods is jumping. Tony Bradley has his hands on his head. Isaiah Hicks has his hands on his head. Just an incredible moment. And then for me, you add on the fact that my daughter was born like 28 hours later. It was just a really busy, emotional couple of days. So
did you name her May?
I promise you, I'm not joking when I say this, but my wife doesn't know this, but I was going to steal the birth certificate. We didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And the baby's name was going to be like Luke or Lucas or something. Had been a boy, but she's a girl.
It's a great name.
Yeah. So that's where I go for my moment.
Kenny, what do you remember the most as someone who lived through that moment? And, you know, you're real close with Luke. Is he going to feel a little slighted that you didn't take him when you had the chance? He was there for you three rounds. And
He'll understand. Luke is an understanding man. He'll understand that. He gets the draft type of thing, and if I explain it, so he'll understand. But, man, that was a – it's hard. It was one of those nights where things are moving – everything's moving so fast that you don't necessarily remember distinct things, but, you know, it just all came together. It was like, you know, we were meant to be there because, you know, it's the year – everybody knows what happened the year before, but – one thing that we point out sometimes is, you know, how we cruised through the tournament in 2016. It was just, you know, there was no competition. It was kind of easy. And then you go to 2017, we're talking about getting redemption. And it's like, every game's a dogfight. Every game we've got to fight tooth and nail to win. And it's like, you know, there was one of those moments where you don't know what's going to happen. And then, you know, Malik Monk goes down and makes this crazy shot between Luke and Justin. It's like, how? Like, there's no way this is happening. And then, you know, four or three seconds later, Luke makes a shot, and it's like, I was still in my brace. Like, I was over there jumping around. I was not supposed to be jumping. Like, I was still in the middle of rehab, like, and it was early on in my rehab, so I had no business over there jumping. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, it's just, one, you're happy for Luke. You know, you see how hard he works. And then, you know, on top of that, he set his career high 2 days before and then broke that career high in the Kentucky game. So, like, you know, you see all the work go in, and for him to make that shot took him from, you know, it just elevates his, you know, stardom from here to here to where he is now. And it's like, you know, it was a lot going on. You know, it's one of those things where you're trying to find as many people to hug as you can. And, you know, of course, Luke was one of the first ones I tried to get to as fast as I could in the brace. So it was a heck of a night.
Yeah. And Luke, like you mentioned, he became like all Carolina fans know who Luke May was before that shot, but in the college basketball, the general college basketball fans' eyes, he became a household name. And while it didn't happen at the game, I think a signature moment from that led from that moment was the Twitter video of the Kentucky bar at the same time. Where
that's my favorite video.
Where you can see them get so excited, and then the moment, like, you don't even have to see the TV, but you could see the exact moment where all their hearts get ripped out. And as Carolina fans, like, we know what that experience
exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, that's us. That's us.
See another fan base kind of get their heart ripped out. It was a little cathartic, I would say.
But oh, dude, and let's not forget who made the pass to Luke, who had the court. My second pick, Theo Pinson.
Trying to guess his pickup.
Don't forget that.
Trying to guess his pickup. That's what he's doing.
Rel, sticking with you. Still on the clock.
So I'm going to go with Keenan Stadium for my venue or my landmark. Even though I cover like UNC basketball, there's nothing better than being with my friends on a Saturday in Chapel Hill and like tailgating and then going in the stadium and enjoying it, you know, watching the basketball players walk by right at kickoff. Everybody always loves that. And then just, you know, watching the game and just hanging out and driving home after you spent, you know, 10 hours in Chapel Hill. So if there's one place I could pick to like watch games and events, I would pick Keenan Stadium.
Football in the Forest, shout out to Lee Pace. But I think even Kirk Herbstreit said, like, in terms of like unique settings to watch a football game, Chapel Hill is up there with anybody in the country. And kind of going back to the Miami catch, it just shows you, like, Saturdays in Chapel Hill are awesome because you get to go to Keenan Stadium. And I think the addition of the seat backs boosts Keenan Stadium a lot, because when it was just the aluminum bleachers, not as good of a stadium. The seat backs, it's a game changer, quite frankly.
Yeah, I personally, for me, I think one of the best views is in the Blue Zone. And I took a picture one night, because I can count on my hand how many night games we had in my 4 years. But we had one, it was after I graduated and I came back for a football game. It was a night game. And from the Blue Zone, you can see like the bell tower and all of that in the background. And it was like the sky was this orangish color, and it was super pretty. So it was one of those great views that you just had to capture on the picture.
Ralph, yeah. Team is shaping up pretty nicely with four picks in. Kenny, going back to you, who are you adding to your squad? You've got between an athlete, a basketball player, and a restaurant or bar, I believe.
So I'm going to go with the player. One of the darlings of UNC basketball in recent memory, I'm going to go ahead and pick Marcus Page.
Mm, yep.
It's a great pick. What's your reasoning behind Marcus over a lot of other Carolina basketball players who might be just as worthy? No pun.
You know, Marcus is the, what's the word, consummate Tar Heel. You know, you walk in, his jersey's hanging in the rafters. But underrated part of Marcus, he's also got his name on the Academic All-American board also. So that's one thing. But, everybody knows Marcus. Everybody loves Marcus, what he done, what he meant for the school. And then, you know, topping it off with – topping his career off, we don't have to – well – we have to mention the shot, but, you know, just finishing his career, taking Carolina to another Final Four, I think that just adds to his legacy.
Yeah, and Carolina doesn't win that national championship if it isn't for somebody like Marcus the year before. It's kind of a take I've had before that Marcus is one of, if not the most important recruit Roy's ever gotten because of his ability to kind of stabilize the program, where those first couple of years when the scandal was kind of swirling around Chapel Hill, Carolina easily could have became the next UCLA before they made this Final Four run, or the next Indiana. But I think Marcus is a great pick, obviously. A little biased there, but I think Marcus is a great pick for all those reasons.
And Marcus's senior speech was one of the best moments I've ever witnessed in the Smith Center.
Yeah, like,
there's been incredible basketball moments, but getting him to hear him pour his heart out about Roy, his experience and his teammates' experience was just one of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
Hey, Kenny, I have a question for you. So obviously he made the three. How did he make the layup before that, because it looks like, I don't know if you remember that, the ball was like, I don't know, it's floating somewhere and there's like 10 people in there and he just finds it
over
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I mean, it, like, you know, I thought about him, like that little stretch he had, that last couple minute stretch where it was just like pure will for Marcus. Like it was, he was making every play, every basket necessary. And it's just like, it was one of those things where you don't know how he did it, how he did it. Like I said, it was just pure will. Like he did, he was trying with everything in him to win that game. And, you know, he got all of the results necessary, but you know, it was just will at that point. Like, I don't know how he ended up with the ball. And I mean, he shot it over his head, I think. So like, that was just will.
I remember being at Bob's watching them. Like, I wouldn't try these shots in a game of horse. Like, what is he? He's out here in the Final Four getting buckets on shots that I wouldn't dream of attempting in the driveway.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if you want to, like, for the people who like to romanticize the game or and sports in general, like, Marcus always gave Carolina fans that hope and that belief that they could win any game. Even when a lot of people were throwing a lot of dirt and shade at Carolina with everything going on, Marcus is a great pick. But Shaq, you've got Pantana Bobs, you've got Carmichael Arena, you've got Tyler Hansbrough. You've got a moment and a non-basketball player.
Non-basketball player. I mean, as a linebacker myself, I cannot, will not let Lawrence Taylor go undrafted here.
It's a great pick.
The best defensive player in the history of the NFL. The best linebacker to ever do it. He changed the game. You can't let him go undrafted. I need LT, and I need him now.
LT, it's a great pick. It's great value in the fourth round. Rel, when you were talking about GOATs for other sports and other positions, were you thinking of LT?
I was. I was hoping he would be around there, you know, when we sneak back around. Because I think the younger, you know, here I am. I'm in my upper 30s and I'm sounding super old, but these young folks, you know, they don't know nothing about no Lawrence Taylor. But yeah, I mean, he really was, he changed how football was played, honestly. You know, offensive line techniques and just how quick he was off the edge. I mean, he is the best defensive player there ever was.
It's a great pick, not to hype him up. We haven't had too many questionable picks. Luke, back to you.
I cannot believe this guy is still on the board. I cannot believe it, because Stuart Scott is one of the best Tar Heels to ever come through Carolina. His record doesn't even need to be said. He's the GOAT. I think if we're talking about GOATs in sports, he's the GOAT of broadcasting. And I remember growing up watching him at Late Night with Roy, and we'd go watching him on TV. I'm a journalist myself. Love everything he's done for the business, and just probably has the utmost respect. Whenever you hear someone talk about him, he just never ever has someone say a bad word about him. So yeah, booyah. He's cooler than the other side of the pillow. Stuart Scott locked in in my fourth pick.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get any hate from Stuart Scott when you're talking about people who first made sports cool and start getting in all those kind of pop culture type references. Stuart Scott is the gold standard, and yeah, he's a Tar Heel, so you can't beat that.
Great and autobiography, too, if you ever get the chance to read it.
I did read it.
Yeah, but it's fantastic.
I'll plug it for anybody else who hasn't had the chance to read it yet. So it's up to me. I've got my basketball player. I've got my monument. I mean, I've got my landmark, and I've got my moment. Man, yikes. My non-basketball alum or athlete, the top three are off the board. This was a category I had started to pick kind of early. So now I'm just gonna let this be my last pick. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. I have back-to-back picks. But for bar or restaurant, I will go – I don't think it's been picked yet. Nope, Top of the Hill. It's a classic. It's a
overrated.
Is
overrated.
When you're talking about how many restaurants there are in Chapel Hill and how that number keeps declining, Top of the Hill.
Oh my God.
Top of the Hill? What do you get at Top of the Hill?
Chicken sandwich. There's so many good options, and it's the same thing as what we've said before with a couple of things, just the view, you're outside, it's a nice day. Shaq, come on. You're a top.
Vip, Vip, love the view, love the idea of top of the hill. The menu's too limited. I mean,
thank you.
It's a good rotating menu. They've got a good Sunday brunch. Bananas Foster, French toast. It's a great option. Hopefully it's still on the rotating menu when I come back to Chapel Hill, but I can't stand for this top of the hill slander. And then when you have Carolina beating Duke or winning a national championship, just overlooking everything, and you get the picture.
That's all they got. The hill in the they background. Got the view. I'm a founding member of Top of the Hill.
They're going to take that back. They're going to take that back. Money.
I hope they don't watch this. Dude, Top of the Hill, you go spend $25 on an okay sandwich two beers, which are okay. Brewery has better beer. And then if Top of the Hill was on Franklin Street, like not where they are on the elevated, if there was a normal restaurant where like Lhasa was, closed down in a year. They're not a weird mix between bar.
That's such a hot take. All right, Skip Bayless. Nuclear. Somebody get Skip Bayless out.
This just got hot.
Hear me out. They're a weird mix between like sports gastropub bar and like fancy nice restaurant. I went there for the March Madness. They didn't have any games on. There's in the main part of the TV, there's no games.
I'm gonna have to find somebody to verify that because that does not sound true. The thing I'll say about Top of the Hill that makes it even better, it's like when you're a student and you go there, you kind of have in your mind of Chapel Hill restaurants, like, oh, Top of the Hill, that's a little pricey, a little high end. And then when you come back as an alumni, Luke, once you experience this as an alumni, you come back to Top of the Hill and you're looking at the menu and you're seeing the prices and you're like, especially if you're coming from a big city, you're like, wow, this wasn't that expensive. I was just really broke in college.
But so you call me Hill, broke.
Bro, come on. As one of the most sensible people on the Zoom right now, give me some backup for Top of the Hill. It's
solid. I mean, it's not quite my scene, but it's solid. I'll give it that.
Bleeding out here right now.
When you're talking about restaurants at Chapel Hill, UNC fans love Top of the Hill, so I'm not worried about that. I think more.
Hey, good case, Kenny. Kenny seems to be on your side.
I'm not even pandering, but more people like Top of the Hill than Luke over there, who probably eats at friggin' Lhasa. He threw out Lhasa.
No, I said Lhasa because Lhasa closed down.
When Luke's friends say, where should we get nice food? Luke throws out Mellow Mushroom.
Hey. The revolving door of restaurants on Franklin on my return trips is absolutely killing me, though.
Yeah.
Like, I went back to
reliable. It's Top of the Hill.
And Pizza Press is gone.
Sauce. It's the same thing essentially. They just changed the name.
It's okay. Moved. Is it moved?
Yeah. Nah. Same spot. They just like added some salads and renamed themselves. It's kind of weird.
Rebrand. Whole rebrand.
Some of the restaurants I see open on Franklin, I'm like, do you even want to make money? Like, why you don't?
Did you put any thought and consideration?
Close here regularly. Why would you open this here?
One restaurant that I have to mention. It's. Anytime we start talking about restaurants, I have to bring it up. I love New York pizza.
Don't do it. I care about you. Don't do it. Don't
just say it. Please say it. It's good. I'll leave the Zoom right now.
I don't know. Every time I come back to Chapel Hill, I say, how is I Love New York pizza?
All right.
They're going to get you. Don't say anything. They're coming after you.
I'm glad that you said it was bad because I was going to have to leave the Zoom if you started gassing up I Love New York pizza.
It's on the Mount Rushmore of the worst place.
It is, dude. No one's ever in there. They're always in business. They cook their pizza.
Stop talking. Stop talking.
Brother, I care about you. I care. Don't say it.
I do think Dames is open now, though. I did see that. It is.
Yeah.
I've never been to Dames. But when you're talking about restaurants, Bieskies could be. We'll get to honorable mentions. Bieskies. R.I.P. Bieskies, legend.
Stop.
Vip, every time he opens his mouth on restaurants, loses more credibility.
You got Bieskies in trouble?
All right.
Come on. It's
back to me. My last pick, it has to be a non-basketball alum or athlete. Looking at my big board, Mia Hamm's gone. Stuart Scott's gone. Lawrence Taylor's gone. I have a 4 and a 5. The 4 is terrible. Like, I'll mention it in the honorable mentions, but I'm going to go Sam Howell. I think when you look at Sam Howell and his body of work, and a lot of this is banking on a great junior year and him propelling himself into being a top pick in the NFL draft. But I think the negative side for picking somebody like Sam Howell is after 2 years, Carolina is just 15-10 in those two seasons. But I think you can make the argument without Sam Howell, this isn't a team with a winning record. And when you start to talk about how I mentioned how Marcus Page was the most important recruit under Roy Williams, I think it's going to be a guy like Sam Howell who's the most important recruit for Carolina football and gets them in this conversation where you're talking about playoffs, you're talking about the Heisman. I mean, right now we're going into a Carolina football season with the most hype ever. Sam Howell is in the Heisman conversation. He deserves to go when you're talking about the non-basketball alum or athlete section. Jack, I know you're a big Sam Howell guy.
I'm huge on Sam Howell. Absolutely huge. I mean, I loved him as a pick too. So I'm not knocking your pick here. I love the pick of Sam Howell, but the justification you use, body of work, is something people complain about talking about every football season. And then you start making up hypotheticals.
His body of work is like he's broken every quarterback record at UNC. And I would go as far to say he's the best quarterback that's ever played at Carolina, just from a physical and talent standpoint, to where he's doing things I've never seen people do, and he's making throws look incredibly easy. It's going to be interesting to see how he does without Daz Newsome and without Deami Brown. But in terms of getting a quarterback, you know, quarterbacks, they bring people in. Sam Howell, he's bringing people in. No more hype than somebody with a guy like Sam Howell this year. I contradict myself mentioning the what-ifs.
Yeah, I love the pick, man.
If Sam Howell goes on to be a Heisman, it's a great pick. In hindsight,
I think it's a great pick regardless.
You
were saying like what he does. I think he's going to go out and spin it and score about 3,000 touchdowns. Yeah. I'm just trying to put doubt in people's minds about voting you to win this thing over me is all I'm doing.
I think the top of pick took him out of the conversation.
He's done.
Not a chance. If you think Topo took me out of the conversation, Sam Howell brought me right back in because people love Sam Howell right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're on the subject of pander. Look.
I love Sam Howell, he's the best quarterback that's ever played.
I love the Sam Howell pick, but let's look at your picks. You got Michael Jordan, so we're talking 1980s. You got Danny Green, so 2005 era. Then you got Topo, wine and cheese, kind of maybe Richard Grell. And then you got Sam Howell. You've hit all the demographics.
He's trying to hit all the bases, yeah.
You've got all the demographics. I see you. It's smart. You're a smart guy.
I've checked on every box, I think.
All right.
So you're pandering.
No. I've had, now that the draft is complete, for me, I'm looking at my board, and I got a lot of my ones.
I'm happy for you.
Luke, it's a
landmark, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I will go with the Pit. It's the epicenter of campus. Whoever's been in Carolina, you get to see the shenanigans of the Pit Preacher, step teams, clubs. There's like a weird, not weird, interesting rap group that goes out there and raps at like 1 a.m. at night when you go home from the UL. There's just so much happening there. I love it. It's the kind of heart of campus. Everything flows through there. So I'm going to go with the Pit as my last pick.
Very underrated.
Why do you think so, Kenny?
I like it. Nobody would think – you don't – unless you're really a student, you don't really think of the Pit.
I like the Pit pick. I don't know too much about the rap group at 1 a.m. I was never a big library guy at Carolina.
We had a lot of –
make that as an athlete diss.
Vip, I can't believe you.
I saw Luke chuckling over there. We didn't have to go to the library. We had Loudermilk Center to study. But I'm still not a library guy.
I have a quick pitch story that's kind of funny. I think it's funny. It also shows my age. So when I was there, I was like big into CAA and Carolina Fever and all that good stuff. And we would help with, recruiting for basketball events and stuff. And so we painted jerseys of people coming so that they could like hold them up at the basketball games. Of course, like I said, I'm old. So it was Dwight Howard, Marvin Williams, Jameson Curry, and J.R. Smith. We forgot to put newspaper under that. So for like 6 years after that, you could see the, like the little paint left over at like Howard number 12 and J.R. Smith number 1 and Marvin Williams, you know, number 24 or whatever. So I always thought that was funny because we would go back during football games. You could still see it a little bit. It was like 2010 before it was gone.
That's awesome.
The pick is great pick. I you know, I'm not here to throw shade on anybody's pick like some people are, but Shaq, finish your draft out. You have what pick do you still have? Moment.
My moment. And this is a moment that I don't think would come off the board for anyone else. It's a big moment for me. I think when I think of what I like to see in athletes, I like to see the grit on the court, on the field, right? I take Hansborough and I mentioned that gritty, bloody picture, right? For my moment, I like to have guys, see guys have fun too, right? I'm going Hansborough jumping off the frat house. That was a moment that like that was the OG Johnny Manziel moment. Like that was our Manziel moment. I saw that even before I came to UNC, like any of that stuff. I saw that and I was like, this guy has a good time. I think I like that place.
I will add this. Under my landmarks, I had the SAE house because of the Hansborough jump. So you're not going to get any complaints from me. It's an iconic picture. I love the pick of Hansborough jumping off. It's a great pick. Like I said, I'm not here to throw shade at anybody. If I think you make a good pick, I'm going to boost you up. I'm a boost you up guy. I'm going to let it play out for the fans and let the fans decide. I'm not here to sway anybody's argument.
You're throwing shade saying you're not throwing shade.
let it fall where it falls. That's all I'll say. Kenny, you're finishing it up here. You have your restaurant.
Restaurant. Right?
Bar. For a lot of the topo talk, Kenny, you better have a great pick gear.
See,
restaurant
I didn't
or
really,
bar.
I didn't really down topo, though.
True.
I think you don't really – I feel like this is a sleeper pick. You don't really get a whole lot of people talking about it. But for my restaurant, I'm going to go Merit's.
Oh, that's
on my big board. It's a classic.
That's very, very, very good. That's real good.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
That's classic.
I like
people,
that.
People love throwing up the Instagrams when they're back in Chapel Hill or they're eating
BLT.
The BLT. It's when you have a restaurant, I feel like the key thing is you have to have a staple off the menu. You have to have that go-to order. So Merit's is a great pick. It was a little lower on my board if things shook out differently. But I definitely had it there. Rel, you're finishing out the draft. You have Sutton's, Mia Hamm, Luke May buzzer beater, Keenan Stadium. So you're getting your Carolina basketball player with the last pick of the draft. Who's Mr. Irrelevant in this scenario?
So let's see. It's not James Worthy. It's not Sam Perkins. It's not Hubert Davis or Rick Fox or King Rice or Vince Carter or Antoine Jameson or Justin Jackson, who probably be number two, or anybody else. If you know me, you know who I'm going to pick is Raymond Felton from the 2005 team because he's my era, my time at Carolina. And, you know the story. Him and his class kind of helped save Carolina basketball when Coach Williams came back because it was rough there for a minute. That's why when I graduated, I don't want to hear anything from anyone about how tough they had it. Like Carolina won one NCAA tournament game while I was in school. Went to one bowl game when I was in school. That's it. That's all we had. We didn't have anything else. It was some dark times, man. It was some dark times. So Felton for bringing Carolina out of it and winning, you know, helping them win the 2005 championship.
I like the Felton pick. Kenny, as somebody who's played against Ray Felton in the pickup games in the summer, what are those experiences like when a guy like him comes back?
Well, it's great, especially for, you know, somebody that grows up and watches him play, not necessarily at Carolina, but more so in the NBA. You know, as a 17, 18-year-old, it's kind of cool to see an NBA player and share the court with them. But then you realize, you know, the Carolina family aspect kicks in and, you know, you kind of get to know him a little bit more, and that's the cool part. But I was actually talking to Coach Davis about this earlier today, just the pride for Carolina that, you know, a lot of the alumni have is something that really can't be matched. You know, they want us to succeed just because of just because we put that Carolina jersey on, and you know, it means something when you put that jersey on. And you see it, you know, almost every summer when guys come back, just how much it means to them, and how much cultivating those relationships means to them. So that's really the cool part, really the off the court, and you know, the things that you're able to share with them off the court.
Love that. And to recap the draft for everybody, I'll go team by team. My team, it's Michael Jordan, the Old Well, Danny Green's dunk over Greg Paulus, top of the hill, Sam Howell. Luke has Theo Pinson, he's not. Daz Newsome's catch versus Miami, Stuart Scott in the pit. Shaq has Pantana Bob's, Carmichael Arena, Tyler Hansbrough, Lawrence Taylor, and then Hansbrough jumps off the frat house at SAE. Kenny has Roy Williams, the Smith Center, Gio Bernard's punt return versus NC State, Marcus Page and Merritt's. Rel has Sutton's, Mia Hamm, Luke May's buzzer beater, Keenan Stadium, Ray Felton. We'll go through honorable mentions that I had, and if anybody wants to chime in with any that they had as well. I think when you're talking about basketball players, Vince, James Worthy, those are the obvious two that nobody selected. And I guess when you go Theo Pinson second, you're going to have to leave out some of those names. But
I'm a character guy.
Carolina basketball, they're with how prestigious it is, there's going to be a ton of names that people had to leave off. The non-basketball alum that I had on my big board that I almost refused to pick unless it was my fifth choice was James K. Polk, president. Anytime.
Known racist.
Yeah.
I'm back. I take what he's off, trying to say.
He's off my big board. I mean, I didn't pick him. But anytime you get a president, it's in consideration. Then the moments that I had, MJ's buzzer beater, I think me picking MJ kind of turned some people off of that. I had Chris Webber's technical foul, even though it's not a Carolina basketball player, just the moment in the grand scheme of things, I think was a great moment. I had Marvin Williams' game winner against Duke. I had Nick Weiler's kick versus Florida State, and I had Bart's kick against Miami. And then landmarks, I think everybody hit my landmarks and everybody hit my bars or restaurants, but anything that kind of jumps off to you guys that we might have missed?
Yeah, a restaurant. Go ahead, you got it.
No, you got it.
I was going to say a restaurant that I really wanted to take that I couldn't because I already had Bob's, but like Lucha Tigre, it's a newer one, so not as many people would have known it. But I wanted Lucha bad. I wanted Lucha. I'll admit, Viv, a little bit of the pandering happened, right? I know that having really picked up steam in like 14, 15, really narrowing the gap if we can get those votes from out of that one. So had to make a business decision there.
The distance from Franklin Street kind of hurts it, but the food.
Great like general Sal's, it's incredible. I was gonna say Al's or IP3.
Yeah,
ooh, Carolina Staples. Those are two good ones.
IP3 are my guys. I know that.
I was gonna say restaurants. I had, I think, Sub Dogs. I had as one.
Oh, Kenny, come on!
He didn't draft it. He's just throwing out what was on the big board.
Fair.
And the second one I had was Sunrise.
Sunrise is great.
Great breakfast.
Hey, go ahead, Earl. You got it.
So the moment I was thinking about was 2015. Very huge for y'all. The Virginia Tech game, Frank Beamer's last home game, the Quinshaw Davis catch in overtime to send Carolina to the, you know, ACC championship game. And then that video y'all had that leaked out that Saturday morning, like with the Joker and stuff. I don't think we were supposed to see it, but we saw it. Do you remember that?
I don't even think I know what video you're talking.
It was like agent. You guys are agents of chaos, and it was like showing people talking about the rankings and how y'all were gonna go in and blow everything up and
did
make
it come
it to
from
the
Carolina football.
Yeah, it did. It was on YouTube for like 7 minutes, and then they took it off.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'll see if I can go find it. And then the other thing was I do like Beeskies too. I just want to say that.
Classic. If I could bring Beeskies back and help them pay rent, I would.
Yeah. Another
Shaq.
Yeah, a non-football player that I really wanted to take because I thought that it was a way to double dip a little bit was Julius Peppers. Yeah. I thought that I could double dip in
we
those
would
buckets.
Have exclude his basketball prowess, but I mean, when you're talking about football, Pep and Dre Bly, I would say, were the next two for if you're looking at just the best Carolina football players that were probably still on the board.
There's another good non-basketball alum. I didn't think anyone would know him, but Jason Kilar, early at Amazon, Amazon executive, Hulu founder, CEO, and now the CEO of Warner Media.
I think he spoke at a commencement.
Yeah, he spoke at one commencement. It could have been yours, probably, but yours. Guy's a total beast.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good pick, but I don't think anyone would know who he is.
If you threw that up on a graphic, you're right. You went with the smart choice, but guys, yeah. It was a great time catching up with all of you, getting through the big boards. We'll see. It's in the fans' hands now. We'll see who wins. maybe get Inside Carolina's guru Jordan Sane to create an own graphic, bother him with his time, and make somebody here a graphic for the first snake draft poll winner. But it's a great time catching up with all of you guys.
I think Kenny won, if I'm being honest.
I like my team.
I think Kenny won, if we're being honest.
Okay, I'll cut this out.
What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Yeah, we can't. Oh, sway the fans.
And the podcast
working together offline
now.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.